Welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha, a podcast for and about women of color in STEM. These women are brave, beautiful, and brilliant. Their stories deserve and need to be heard. Their voice strong, their message clear, their experiences priceless. Now, let's welcome this wonderful, winning woman of color to the show.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha. It is great to be with you guys once again. So, as you know, I do my best to try to find you the best, and today's guest is the best. She's amazing, and I'm just happy to know her. She is Bronwyn Morgan. She is the CEO and founder of Zeo Air, and y'all, she knows about drones. She knows about flying. She knows about all of that stuff. So I wanted to welcome Bronwyn to the show. Hey, Bronwyn, how are you?
Hey there. How are you doing, Dr. Natasha? I'm doing great.
Man, I can't even tell you. This has been a long time in the making. Now, truth be told, you guys, we haven't known each other long, but we keep saying, listen, we gotta get together. We gotta do something. And so this, I know and believe, is just the first step. I could not have her on my show. I just couldn't have you not be on my show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited about what you're doing and this voice that you're creating in this space for the voices to be heard. So you're a powerhouse and making such a difference in the STEM space. So I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I'll take it. I will take that. It gives me motivation to keep doing what I'm doing. So I really appreciate that. Okay. So as we begin every show, I ask our guests to tell us their STEM story. So Bronwyn, tell us your STEM story.
Wow. Well, I always have to start at the beginning because I think it's very relevant. You know, as a little Black girl, growing up, my dad was awesome in inspiring me. He taught me to read at a very early age and really took me on his journey of the things he loved, airplanes and ships and, all this heavy industry and heavy equipment kind of stuff that, most of the time girls aren't pushed in that direction. And I can't say really pushed me, but he just exposed me to it. Science. I just kind of grew a love for it, myself. And so, being the nerd that I am, I often find myself during, downtimes, not only on social media, but, looking at heavy industry, looking at ships and cargo ships and how they're built and airplanes and space travel and trains and locomotives. I mean, I just find all of the ingenuity and the genius in engineering and science to just be fascinating. And so since a child, I have always wanted to work in aviation and aerospace as a sector of science and technology. And, after high school or during high school, I thought, I'll maybe apply for the Air Force Academy and become a fighter pilot. Well, at that time, and I'm dating myself, women couldn't fly fighters. Mm-hmm. And because that's considered frontline. And I thought, oh, wow, well, it's kind of boring to fly a larger, bigger, slower aircraft. And maybe that was true or not true. I probably should have done it anyway and then caught up with the regulation that did allow women to fly. But you're on the path that you're supposed to be on, whether you know it or not.
Right.
And I went into a completely different direction and wound up, after leaving the University of Illinois, not becoming an astronaut or a pilot or working for NASA or JPL, but instead working for two of the biggest companies in the world, Procter & Gamble and the Coca-Cola Company. And so, thank goodness the wherewithal to be ambitious and to pursue doing good work followed me. And even in that capacity at those two companies, while I had responsibility in a more traditional role in sales, marketing, strategy, managing customers, managing people, I always found myself in a role related somewhere either to R&D and launching new things and or innovation. Mm-hmm. I spent quite a bit of time in innovation and a lot of time in and out of Silicon Valley. And that really introduced me to a whole new world of tech. Just things that were happening then and that now are slowly coming to light. New tech that is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. But how do you commercialize that? How do you turn that into a business opportunity that people are willing to pay for, and how will they use it?
Right.
And so that helped me kind of grow the skill of being present-minded around how to run a business, but then also really focus on the future. You know, what is coming and how do you get ahead of that curve? So after that, I became an entrepreneur after I left corporate, not doing any of this work, but other work. Market crashed. I wound up going back to work in industry in different capacities. Always found myself in an innovation and strategy kind of role. Worked at the university level in innovation entrepreneurship as well. And then I started an innovation consulting firm, working with large corporations and future-proofing, doing a lot of special projects and consulting work in different capacities around startups, around innovation, around commercializing innovation. And, you know, just had a very broad view of technology. And so if it was happening in the marketplace or trying to happen related to a new tech, artificial intelligence, social listening, robotics, digital applications, drones, I mean, all of this was coming into my purview, AR, VR. And when drones came up as a civilian commercial opportunity, I thought, hey, this is my chance. I finally get a chance to work in aviation and aerospace after all of these years.
You came right back around to it, huh?
You come full circle. You know, and that's what I think is an important story to tell. I think your journey is your journey, and it catches up with you at some point. You know, what's in your heart will always catch you. And so I studied, became an FAA, certified drone pilot. There are over 130,000 of us in the U.S., and started working on my companies. And I have more than one. I have Zeo Air, which is an outsourced AI-based drone services, data analytics, and soon-to-be autonomous operation for infrastructure verticals like telecom, energy, utilities, oil and gas, civil infrastructure. And I also have Airversity, which helps prepare people for the FAA exam, as well as flight training. And I do consulting out of that, and I have a new company called Move. And Move is an AI-based training solution for first-generation pilots for advanced aerial mobility or flying vehicles, as well as building an AI-based smart cockpit, so that eventually your Uber will come to your door or whatever the actual service is, and it will be unmanned and it'll fly and take you from your house to, you know, the airport, shopping, you know, whatever the destination.
Okay.
So my days are spent busy, as you can tell. But between UAVs or unmanned aerial vehicles, advanced aerial mobility, artificial intelligence, autonomy, how to build these companies, how to scale these companies in the midst right now of a pandemic. So it's an interesting journey, to say the least.
Yes. Okay. I have so many questions. Oh my God. My mind is going nuts. Cause I know I didn't know all this, right? I knew a portion of it, but I didn't know this other side. So now my brain, you've just blown my mind.
I blow my own mind every day.
That's a good thing. I love that. Okay. So I want to, There's several things. I love what you said about what's in your heart will always catch you. Love, love, love that. So one question I want to ask right now is, so was there at any point when in all of the things that you were doing when you were in Silicon Valley or PG or at Coke or wherever else you were, what were you doing to sort of keep the fire burning for aviation and all of what happened there? So tell me what was happening there.
Absolutely nothing. Honestly, it was, you know, I still always read a lot, mm-hmm. Fascinated by science, tech, and physics. But I really was more, working at those companies is a full-time plus job.
Right.
So I didn't get a chance to pursue any of that other than just occasionally and casually reading through some things. But it wasn't until I started really working in innovation and then really seeing drones come up as an opportunity because, you know, the likelihood of me going to flight school, of course, in any military capacity was past time for me personally, as well as for their requirements. Becoming an astronaut, also past that. So when I saw this, it just hit me. And I was just like, I want to go do this. I want to first prove it to myself. And now taking my business skills, how do I turn this into a business? How do I find the opportunity and the gaps? And how do I study to become proficient and good at this and understand what it's going to take to be a player in this space? And, you know, that's what we're working on right now.
Man, I love that. I just love that because to me, it's mainly, so it's almost like, you know, your first love never leaves you. Like you were saying, it catches up to you. And somehow or other, you found a way unconsciously, maybe, or of course, you know, I'm always a big believer in, you know, he doesn't, everything you've done led you to that moment when you discovered drones or drones discovered you. And you said, this is the moment. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. And so I love that that happened for you and mm-hmm. that you took it, like you took that opportunity. You just didn't say, I don't know. I kind of know this over here now. I know that was maybe that was a childhood thing and I'll just let that go. But you said, nope, this is my opportunity and I'm going to take it. And not only am I going to take it, but I'm going to master this thing. I love that.
Yes, it is. It's as much about passion as it is about the business opportunity behind it. And, you know, it's you have to love whatever it is you do, because when it's hard or it's not working, even like with a relationship, it's when it's hard and it's not working and the romance is gone. It's the love and the passion for it that keeps the flames burning. And I mean, that's all I can say. It really is the love for it. And I think, you know, just demonstrating to yourself that I got a chance to do everything that I wanted and I love it. And I think that's so important.
So here's a couple of things I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a really interesting term. Well, actually several. I want you, if you can, to define what you believe innovation entrepreneurship is for my mm-hmm. listeners so that they can understand what, you know, what, because I'm in my mind, I have an idea of what I think that is. Right. But if you can you define it for us?
Well, you know, I think those two words, especially now in our society, along with the word STEM, are just, you know, used on a constant basis. And maybe because I'm in tech and I'm an entrepreneur, I hear it more.
Yeah.
But we've certainly romanticized it and we have held it on a platter. You know, an innovation, of course, being anything that is bringing to market something that's going to solve a solution and do it better than what we've had before. So whether it was, you know, the can opener from the more crude ones, which I have, you know, in my kitchen, to the electric one.
Right.
It's solving a problem, but doing it more efficiently and easier. And entrepreneurship is clearly the foundation of, at least in the United States, economy. You know, 99% of people don't work for big companies. They work for smaller companies.
Right.
And so it's the innovation and ingenuity of people inventing things and creating things that is the fuel for our growth and, you know, our gross domestic product. And now with technology being the fuel under that and new tech, you know, there's Moore's Law, with this whole idea of technology, at some point it was doubling, and now it's, you know, the pace of technology is moving so fast. We're trying to figure out, how do we manage the computing power to even get to all the cool things that we're seeing in people's heads and on screens?
Right.
And I think to solve a lot of our issues, both social and business, which is a little bit more driven by consumer desire than it is a need. It really is. It's fueled by tech. It's fueled by STEM. You know, you look at COVID, that's all about science, mm-hmm. And every level of that. And then the technology that would be available to help us distribute it, to identify it, to squash it. So the future is definitely about STEM. And, you know, as someone who's been in the business for many, many years, I'd rather be on an island with scientists and tech people than I would rather be on an island with a bunch of business people. Because if it comes to us being saved and getting out or sustaining ourselves, it will be the folks in science and tech that will help us get there. And that's not to poo-poo, you know, other skills, because all of us make everything work. I need just as many non-scientists around to help marketing and, you know, telling the story, right. And so much more. But it really is, you know, our future, you know, everything from robotics to artificial intelligence. Now, some people argue that, are we, you know, going down a rabbit hole that is going to turn on us? Quite possibly. But I do believe that entrepreneurship, whether you're running a bakery, whether you are a candle maker, whether you are a seamstress, or whether you're building solutions in artificial intelligence or cryptocurrency, name it, is all a part of this, the fabric of the future. And I think that people need to consider entrepreneurship, either working for a growing company, a startup, or a small business, to help them understand the lay of the land, because it offers a lot of freedom, although it's very much hard work.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I had a conversation with my husband the other day, and he was like, well, you know, everybody wants to be, it seems like everyone wants to have a side hustle, a business, be an entrepreneur. And I was just like, yeah, but I think it's unrealistic. I mean, there are some people who were cut out and meant to be entrepreneurs. They have the internal motivation and drive to do that work, to mm-hmm. be in that space. There's a certain mentality that I'm discovering you need in order to really drive through. So, because mm-hmm. you don't have a boss, you are the boss. So you mm-hmm. are, in instances, literally making up processes, policies, procedures as needed on the fly. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who flourish and grow in that environment. And I always think of it as it's a STEM environment, whether you are in a STEM entrepreneurship role, but the idea and the thought processes behind sort of being able to do that is a STEM mindset. Mm-hmm. And I want people to understand it. But the other part is that there's some people who just they're not cut out for that. And it's fine.
Right.
That means yeah. you want to be, you will be the best employee of someone else, whether that's an entrepreneur or you're working for an established company. And both are fine. We need both. And there's Absolutely. Nothing wrong with either or. So that's mm-hmm. the other part of it. I think that was a fabulous definition of innovation, entrepreneurship. I think that I haven't heard that term, or haven't heard it. I've heard it, you know, put somewhat similar, but not necessarily like that. So you're the first person to have said that to me. I'm going to adopt that.
I'll charge you a small licensing fee.
Okay. I'll pay you. I got it. I'm good for it. All right. The other thing I wanted you to define or talk about is you mentioned sort of like the Uber of the future and unmanned vehicles. Mm-hmm. What did we used to call them? They were UAVs and something mm-hmm. like that. So I want you, can you define that for people? Because I know, of course, I'm aging. I might be aging just myself, but I think about the Jetsons. But I don't know if that's what you are really talking about when you say, you know, when you're saying an unmanned vehicle, what does that mean?
Yeah, I'm definitely talking about the Jetsons. you know, there's two parts of this. You know, ZO Air and Airversity are focused on drones, mm-hmm. which, you know, smaller UAVs. And as a drone pilot that's certified by the FAA, I get to fly equipment up to 55 pounds. But, you know, and that's what you're seeing people talk about when it comes to what we do in inspection and mapping. So we inspect things, we inspect towers, we can inspect pipelines. We can inspect land. We can, you know, observe things. We can map things using different types of drones, whether they're quadcopters or they're fixed wing, you know, like an airplane. And one of the largest manufacturers in the world happens to be a Chinese company called DJI. So a lot of people who fly drones have, you know, have heard of DJI, but there's a couple of different brands out there. And so that would be the unmanned aerial vehicle. But there are big ones as well that are coming on now under what's called advanced air mobility. Another term is urban air mobility. And these are flying vehicles that are larger, mostly electric, vertical takeoff and landing for passenger travel, which is the Jetsons, and or cargo. Wow. So now you'll see more short range flight. So your Uber or whatever the company is will now pick you up and take you where you want to go. But you'll just be doing it in the sky versus on the ground. UAVs are going to be also the smaller ones will be used for delivery. You know, you're seeing that technology and those kind of articles and videos popping up of people delivering. And there's already a lot of testing going on by, you know, the Amazons of the world UPS, where you'll be getting everything from medical equipment delivered between facilities to pizza at home to your Amazon order. God knows, you know, during this pandemic, we've all ordered more than we probably should.
True.
But then you'll be able to take either your own personal Jetson style vehicle and fly around or a more public transport, whether it's like a shared economy idea of, you know, smaller cars that are taking people around to eventually larger one day, you know, bus size that are able to take larger groups of people almost like in a shuttle. But there's a lot that has to be tested first, because this aircraft has to be certified. It's all very new to the airspace. Tests are going on around the world. Here in the U.S., testing is happening in places like L.A. and in Texas, Louisiana, I think that's right. You'll start seeing more and more about that. There's tons about this already online. And then the evolution of that is, how do you automate this?
Right.
So where you don't need a human involved, and it's, you know, flying by itself, whether it's a smaller drone or a larger drone. So there's a lot that we have to prove out. We have to have a safety matrix in the sky so that we don't run into each other. So there's detect and avoid systems. We have to make sure that we notify other aircraft when we're in the space. We don't want to run into buildings. The airspace is going to get very crowded. You already have aircraft flying today, from helicopters to military to civilian and commercial. So there's a lot. And then in autonomy, how do you do all this? How do you automate this so that it's safe? And are you comfortable being in the air and not having a pilot on board?
That's the question. The other thing, mm-hmm. okay, so answer me this if you can. Because in my mind, I'm like, I hear what you're saying about it, you know, being in the air. But in my mind, I didn't think that we would be able to. How far up in the air would it be able to travel?
Well, that's to be determined.
Okay.
With a Jetson style car, at least in the foreseeable future, you know, the next 20 years or so, I mean, probably no more than 5,000 feet, if that.
Okay.
You don't need to go too high to go too far.
Right.
Because after you get past like 10,000 feet, you need oxygen. So that's why when we're flying in general aircraft, general aviation today, with the jetliners, you've got the cabins are pressurized. And then if there's a problem, you know, the mass drop down. So after a certain altitude,
you've got issues, science just takes over. And right. So most likely around the 5,000 foot level, but that's kind of a hypothesis based on just early stage reviews and chatter.
Right.
But as we go beyond that, whether it's suborbital or orbital, let's say you're taking your own private, you know, flying car from here to a entertainment space station, which is all coming. That will be a different type of aircraft that is pressurized to not only handle issues around suborbital flight, but also as you get out into space where there is no oxygen and the pressures are very different. All of that will have to be taken into account. So the work that's happening with Blue Origin and SpaceX and others will be very interesting to see, and NASA and all the other agencies that are working on this. But eventually you will be able to just pop in your flying car and fly up to an entertainment space station and have a vacation out in the stars. It's coming.
I love that. I love the idea of that. I will just tell you.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a while.
It's going to be. Are you trying to say that I may not make it to this?
I don't know if we will. If we do, we're going to be very old. And even some of your younger listeners or their children, that it still may be beyond them, but it is coming.
I can't wait. And I'm hoping and praying that it's sooner rather than later, but later's good too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so take my listeners through the certification process. So again, if we didn't make it plain, Bronwyn is a badass. She is a drone pilot. She's certified. She's FAA certified. I believe that's the right terminology, right? I am saying the right terminology. Okay.
You are.
So tell us. Give us the brief synopsis of that process.
Well, I won't say it's too difficult. Right now, there's actually changes that are just occurring, and we're having meetings about this very same thing. And I'll talk about how people can learn more, at least from my folks at the end of this. But you study. Study the materials that are required for certification. So every FAA certified pilot, whether you are flying a helicopter, fixed wing aircraft, you know, a Delta jet, you name it, you have to be certified by the FAA to do that. And now if you're flying recreationally as a drone pilot, you can do that, but you still need to know the baseline rules. But anyway, you study materials that can be done online. I have a company that provides that kind of training. There's several out there. You could do self-study. A lot of this information is available at FAA.gov in the drone zone. Self-study is a little bit difficult because you may not know where to zero in, and none of this is intuitive. You just need to understand general aviation theory. And then the drone regulations themselves, you know, what is required and how it works and what your liability is in it. And then after that, you then go take the FAA exam. The FAA is the only body that can certify anyone in the national airspace because they manage the national airspace, all of it. And if you pass, you receive your certification. It looks like a driver's license. Mm-hmm. That's good for 2 years. And then you have to take another test to stay current. That's actually some updates are taking place right now where you're now able to take your recurrent online. There'll be a part of the new testing that will allow for you to become certified to fly at night. There are three places that we haven't been able to fly without FAA authorization or a waiver, that is, and that would be at night over people and beyond visual line of sight, which is what's called BV loss. But now there's some changes on the night flight. And then eventually we're working on beyond visual line of sight, because I can only fly my drone as far as I can see it, but that's changing. And then the over people thing will start to become another factor. How do you do that safely? Because the most important aspect of of the FAA's responsibility is safety. In addition to being a drone FAA certified pilot, I'm also an FAA safety rep and FAA drone pro. And you've just got to make sure that everybody stays safe, because it's, you know, if something bad happens, it's very bad.
Right.
So all of that's a part of the process. So, yeah, I mean, study if you want to, you know, you want to do this. And at the end, I'll share, you know, what the tools that I offer. But there are many out there.
Well, that's where we are right now in the show. So tell us where we can find you if we are.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there will be plenty of people looking for you after this, after hearing this episode. So if they're looking for you, where can they find you?
Absolutely. Well, for Airversity, and that's where I do all the training. That's www.airversity.com, AIRVERSITY. And then for Zeo Air, if there's someone that really wants to hire us, that's XEOAIR.com, XEOAIR.com at Zeo Air. And the Advanced Aerial Mobility Company is brand new, MOVE. You can find us at MOVEUAM, MOVEUAM.com. Not much to see there yet. That's still in the very early stage of development. And then you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Bronwyn Morgan. And I'm on Twitter. You can find Zeo Air. Actually, on Twitter, we're Air Zeo, AIRXEO. On Instagram, I think we are Zeo Air, XEOAIR. And then personally, I'm on Twitter at BMM at Bronze World, BMM at Bronze World. And then you can also find me and all my companies on LinkedIn. And the last thing I'll say is I also have an organization called Black Women in STEAM, mm-hmm. dedicated to galvanizing Black women in the STEM fields. Whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you're working for an organization, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at bwisteam.org is our site. So you can find me in a variety of places, me personally, as well as my companies.
Okay, so any one of those, because that was a lot.
It was, I know.
But no, that just means you're doing a lot, but it's all good. It's all good. And normally this is not the last question, and this is not going to be the last question, but I just need to know, how is it being a Black woman in this space?
Yeah, I get that question. You know, there aren't a whole lot of us in this space, especially when it comes to owner operators. There is another woman who I know very well, who's outstanding, who runs Women in Drones, Sharon Rossmark. She's awesome. But there are quite a few Black female drone pilots flying often for companies, starting to do their own thing, developing organizations in this space. And I'm so excited to see that. I love that. But there aren't a whole lot of us and, you know, taking on these hard challenges. And I'd love to say, you know, women of all sorts we're doing hard stuff, heavy stuff, not, you know, just the light stuff. And, I have found the industry to be embracing overall. But, you know, I guess at this point in my life, I'm used to walking into rooms where there aren't a whole lot of people like me. And mm-hmm. that's not my issue. You know, I'm there to do what I'm supposed to do. And you network, you develop relationships, and you get in where you fit in. And, you know, I'm like, if there is no table for you, you just build one. But it's, I think because in this, everybody is new. Everybody's learning at the same time for the most part. Mm-hmm. People are fairly I'm trying to feel my way around this too. But of course you deal with the same stuff, you know, people until you start talking or people look at your background, they may not necessarily take you seriously. But that's not your problem. You do the work, you prepare yourself, you do the hard work. And you just step up, you get engaged, you get involved, you network, just like anything else. And people, like I said, people have been fairly embracing overall. But, you know, we'll see when it comes time to raise money. what, you know, where the rubber meets the road, and where access is available. And if not, you just keep knocking. And if not, you just you go to the next door, you go to the next door. And I tell people, don't expand. Don't necessarily keep all your eggs in one basket, whether that's a region of the world, a sector of work, a team of people that you want to get engaged in. Expand all over the world. And, you know, then you start getting people coming to you,
yes,
which happens a lot, and develop a voice. But you got to do the hard work. Because sometimes I found in certain circles, it wasn't because of, you know, my gender or what I look like. People just want to know, have you paid your dues? Can you sit down and have, you know, do you have the chops for it?
Right.
And there are certain times I'm like, hey, I'm still learning. Will you take me under your wing? And there are other times when I'm like, I've done, you know, a certain part of whatever this is like 100 times over. I'm the best person in the room, and I'm comfortable and confident to carry that when it's time. And when I don't, you know, I'm looking for the person who is really smart and good at it. And hopefully, you know, I can, you know, work with them and they'll take me under their wing to teach me. So I just say, hey, look at everybody as a potential partner. What other folks got going on and what's in their head? That's not yours to manage. That's their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Your journey is for you and nobody can change it. I don't care how hard they try.
Truth. She has preached that sermon, and y'all need to give her and help us pass this collection plate. Okay. Okay. So one last question, and it's the question, of course, that I ask all my guests on the show. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her and why?
I clearly say follow your passion much earlier and be so committed to it. I mean, when it gets hard, push hard. When you don't think you can do it anyway. I definitely would have pursued this. I wouldn't have known that this is what it would be, but I think I would have pursued the passion a lot harder, both coming out of high school and in college. Now I've had a great path, thank goodness. But then, you know, in retrospect, like I said, when we started, your path and your journey it has unfolded as it should.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you're like, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, 2020, you know, hindsight is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change it. But what did you learn from it? And how has that prepared you? You know, always being a good Girl Scout, which I was, you just take those, because all of that prepares you for now. Even though I didn't become an astronaut or a fighter pilot, doesn't matter. I am doing what I am now. And then maybe if I, you know, I did do those things, maybe I wouldn't have the business skills to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly have a lot more skills around aviation, aerospace, but what you're supposed to do is the journey. And everything that you've done prepares you for where you are now. It's what you do with this moment and where you move forward. But I would have told her to buckle down more on the hard stuff and to really research that a little bit more than I did.
Mm-hmm. The takeaways from this one, y'all, are huge. I have a page full of notes. My listeners now know that I take notes with all my guests. So, mm-hmm. Because I'm here to learn from you guys as well as be the facilitator of this experience, both for you and the audience. And so you just dropped a nugget on me, and it's like I knew this, but when you said, earlier, you know, like I said, what's in your heart will always catch you. I felt that in a place. I just felt that in a place. But then you mm-hmm. just said, you really need to know, understand, and be certain of is that your journey is your journey. So it happened exactly the way it was supposed to, that it couldn't, you know, it just wasn't going to be any different.
No.
And I feel like we need to do more embracing of that than anything else. We always like, oh, I, you know, if I hadn't have done that, I, you know, that wouldn't have happened. And then this would, and it's just like, but then that would have been somebody else's journey. That wasn't the journey you were supposed to go on. You know, you weren't, you were supposed to have that experience. You were supposed to meet that person. You were supposed to be at that place at that time doing that thing. It gets deep,
Dr. Natasha. I mean, even things like, you know, my mother wasn't a fighter pilot. My mother was an educator. You know, she's a master's degree educator. So you can then look back historically and say, well, if there were more people like me, and if my parents were wealthy, a trust fund baby, starting a startup,
right?
Had money. I got plenty of money. But you know what? That's not the reality. And we all understand the whys. We know. We understand how unfair things have been. We understand the issues for me, at least, is, you know, being a Black woman, being a woman. We understand that. However, today, where I am and who I am is the torch that I carry. You know, that's the baton that I'm carrying forward. And I'm going to take this baton with everything that I've been blessed with, and I'm going to run it really hard. And then I want to hand it off to the next set and say, you know what? I came before you, just like women have come before me, and you know, the Katherine Johnsons and all the hidden figures, and you know, women that have done so much that we don't even know about, and men. And then I want them to take it and go further. So the Mars generation, women that are going to create so many amazing, you know, things and instill this into their children, into their communities. So you just have to be where you are. And I think this is a pivotal moment in the world right now on many levels. And it's just time to step up to the plate. And it doesn't matter what else is going on. You push through and you break through. Mm-hmm. And that becomes your badge of honor. And that's the baton that you have built. And then you get to hand off.
Oh, well, I think we are going to end on that note. I really do want to thank you again for just giving me just a little bit of your time today. This has been so good. It touched me, and I know it's going to touch the audience. So again, thank you for just your words and your story just mean so much. And I'm glad that this was the platform that you told it on today.
Thanks for having me. And thank you again for what you're doing. I appreciate you so much.
All right. So you're welcome. And you guys, so where to find me? So, of course, I'm Dr. Tasha. This is Stimming in Stilettos. You can find this, of course, anywhere you're listening to a podcast. Just type in Stimming in Stilettos. And I should come up. If you don't see a woman with an afro and Stimming in Stilettos around her, then that's not me. and someone out there is misappropriating my logo. But that's where you can listen to the podcast. You can find Dr. Tasha on all social medias as Dr. Tasha or Dr. Tasha 11. You can find me on my new Facebook group. It's called the Nerdy STEM Queen Network. Come and join us. If you are looking for a group of African American or women of color in STEM who are really trying to help support each other. And so this Facebook group is brand spanking new. And what we will be doing on there is supporting each other, but there will be webinars, there will be opportunities for you to share what you're doing, your work, and things that you're interested in also. So this is an active group. So join us there. As I always say, you guys, I'm always about keeping you safe. So until next time, keep yourself safe and have a good week. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Stimming in Stilettos. Please check out the show notes to get additional information about today's guest or today's topic. You can find the podcast on every major podcast platform. You can find additional information about Dr. Tasha at www.drtasha.com. Thanks again, and don't forget to tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of Stimming in Stilettos.